So we'll start off with the Heart Sutra in English, starting on page 2, and then we'll do the mandala offering, followed by the refuge prayer on page 22. Thus I have heard, at one time the Blessed One was dwelling in the world and made us all his son, and the great gathering of monks and a great assembly of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One was absorbed in samadhi that many aspects of the Navakulkadhanas. At the same time, the Lord Vishwara, looking at the practice of the profound conventional wisdom, saw the bhaktas and their advantages. And through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shri Buddha said to the Navakulkadhanas, how should a son of the age remain, which is the law of practice of strong connection of wisdom? Thus he spoke, and no one of the Vishwara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, answered the Vishwara Vajra Buddha with these words. The Buddha goes on in and women of the lineage, which is the law of practice of the profound connection of wisdom, should look at it like this. The father's knowledge is the purely divine enlightenment. Form is emptiness is form, emptiness is not other than one. Form also is not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling or imagining composition of factors becomes conscious when Shariputra, like this, all phenomena are emptiness, and they have no characteristics, they are unknown sensation, they are not impure or pure, neither degrees nor orderness. Therefore, Shariputra, emptiness is there is no form, feeling, or imagining.
Cesare Guru Guru As we recited refuge formula, take refuge in Jesus and then again state of enlightenment and the practice of perfection and so on, may again the state of enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings. So right from the beginning of our practicing of the Dharma, practice of Dharma will be followed on the basis of cultivation of positive motivations. Positive motivation is very important because whether one's practice will really become a genuine practice or authentic practice is determined by one's motivations. So, therefore, as you recite this refuge formula, Sanghi Chodong, you follow the verse, not only just reflecting on, not just by verbalizing, but try to internalize the actual meaning of this refuge formula. One then, on this basis, one then engages in the practice of the Dharma. So here, practice of the Dharma, which means that practicing the teachings of the Buddha, right? So practicing the teachings of the Buddha begins with taking refuge into the jewels. It is the prerequisites or the preliminary practices, because all of our spiritual development and the practice must develop upon taking refuge in Jesus. So purpose of taking refuge in Jesus is to generate compassion, sense of connectedness with other sentient beings, and you're committing yourself, refraining from, your main commitment is to refraining one from harming other beings. And if possible, one should always try one's best to benefit other sentient beings, help other sentient beings. If that is not possible, one should at least refrain from harming others. That is the core practice of the Buddhism. That is the core practice of the Buddha Dharma. So now, as when we speak about practicing Dharma and then practicing the teachings of the Buddha, is our goal or our main objective to engage in practice of the Buddha Dharma is to achieve happiness. Because we all share a common objective or the goal, which is to achieve happiness and overcome sufferings. So it is this, for this purpose, we are engaging in practice of the Dharma and receiving the teachings of the Dharma. And so now, how can we really achieve happiness by engaging in the practice of the Buddha Dharma and by receiving the teachings of the Buddha Dharma is to find the causes and conditions that really leads oneself to suffering and causes and conditions that leads oneself to or happiness. So by finding the two causes and two different causes and conditions, one that leads to happiness and one that leads to and sufferings, then one make a distinction between the two and try not to accumulate the cause that leads to suffering and try to accumulate the cause that leads to which leads to happiness. So this is how the practice begins, how one's Dharma practices begins. Because from the beginningless time of our life up until now, we are unable to find the happiness that we always seek and happiness that we are seeking. Why that's happened is because we are unable to really accumulate cause that really leads to happiness. So this is the problem with us. So therefore now, with this practice of the teachings of the Dharma, one's main purpose is to need to find the causes and conditions which really leads to a genuine happiness and lasting happiness. So the process of practice to find the cause that leads to happiness and cause that leads to is sufferings and so on. It's done on the basis of meditations. In other words, it requires a mental practice, mental transformations, because When we speak about the suffering, suffering come into being from with no causes and conditions. Each suffering has its own particular causes and conditions. And all of this causes and condition of suffering is rooted into ignorance, what we call avidya or the ignorance. So our main purpose of engaging in the practice of the Buddha Dhamma is to overcome, eradicate this ignorance. And this can be done on the basis of meditations by understanding, by having a proper understanding, by gaining a proper understanding of how things really are, and how things appears to us, and how we grasp onto it, and so on.
That the nine is that you lead the Lama Gibazola, lead the taking a sermon, that in little nature gained about the Toma Maripa singing at the Gadiates, and Toma Maripa singing at the Gadiates, and Cook John, I guess, also my impan, the King of the Jury, Cook in Abbot, the Latonu to below him, Tetigui. That Tonu to below the Jar Tanjigi, and tell it say, Marin, tell it to you, King, getting in June, Samba, the John Sugar Sense, and those genuine, a quality with Tapa Toes and those young bearing feelings.
So, so when we speak about the not being able to understand how things really are, it's because of we're speaking about the grasping itself and grasping of phenomena, which is the root cause of all our sufferings. We grasp onto self and other phenomena as if they exist by virtue of their own side, and as if they have a concrete existence. So we our understanding of the existence of phenomena as it appears to our, you know, our mostly to our sense consciousness. And then we grasp onto it, and we take it for granted, all self and phenomena exist intrinsically, which is the most powerful defilement. That is, our practice is to now eradicate, our practice is to have a battle with this ignorance by cultivating the correct way of thinking and correct way of understanding how things really are, which is referred to as the wisdom realizing emptiness. And so what is meant by wisdom realizing emptiness is the wisdom that understands that things are devoid of intrinsic reality, that things, self and phenomena, are all lack of intrinsic reality or the intrinsic existence.
Then that only to be here or tell a true you can get under that he is from here. Nyanjun is sambaras and the quali and banjuns in Junaja. Tangan Zogin send the legend that is on Sosa get doing it. Tangan send the legend is I to me, I can come back. You call it. Anjun dana ji tadi ji anaki anjun de kwa yo mari to chena lo ye jo gu jo ndaj mun dia yo mari ani an ru yari tan ro ne ga de ga de pen gri ye jin chi di ji tan min nan bi gi chi di ji tu na ani jo wa lo ran to de ne jin ru yari ye si yo mu gi tan ngun sun la di tan ten ji yo hin wu ge.
So this wisdom is then accompanied by what we call the cultivation of renunciations and bodhicitta. And with the combination of those practices, combination of those qualities that is cultivated within us will then lead oneself to everlasting happiness, and this, in other words, the state of enlightenment.
ဝတ်တယ်အဲ့တန်တဲ့ခွာလင်းပမြန်ပါသုံးနီးခွတ်တယ်ကျန်တာနီးရဒဝါကျင်ရှင်တွေ့ရကြီးကျန်တာတဲ့သူမမာရိပါလေးခွတ်တယ်မြန်ပါတို့တန်တဲ့ရှုခွန်ကြည့်ချင်းတန်ကြီးခေရမိကတဲ့ဒဝါကျင်ရှင်နီးရအချိကြည့်ကြတယ်ဒဝါကျင်ရှင်စီခေကြတဲ့ကာရနံပါတ်30တန်ဒဝါကျင်ရှင်စီနီးလေးစနာအဲ့ဒီကြောလေကြည့်ဒုံင်းမနုံးခင်ဒဝါကျင်ခေမခေမေကြည့်ကြတန်တဲ့ကြီးတန်ကြီးစံတော်ကြီးရကျန်တော
So with this cultivation of renunciation, what's the purpose of cultivation of renunciation? Is to renounce this state of samsara. And so long as you are unable to renounce the existence, this the samsaric existence, and you will not be able to have a wish to free yourself from the samsara or gain the liberation, in other words. So this will then lead yourself to revolve within the cyclic existence uncontrollably. So then, with these renunciations, just as you have developed a very strong aversion or revulsion against samsari existence, and so to all other sentient beings, you have a genuine wish that may. How wonderful it would be, may all other sentient beings be able to cultivate these renunciations and cultivate this revulsion against samsari existence, so that all of them can gain the state of liberations or free from samsari existence. So when you have this kind of motivation, when you develop this kind of motivations, then not only just you're developing renunciation, you're developing what we call the universal compassion. Because the reason why you are renouncing, why you are renouncing this cyclic existence, is because you see the cycle of suffering. You see the nature of suffering within is experienced by sentient beings, including oneself. So therefore, with this recognition, you wish to free yourself from that nature of sufferings. So then, now the next is, not only just you wish yourself to this free from suffering, but also wishing entire sentient beings to gain the state of liberations and free from sufferings. Then there are two mental states. One is to free oneself from sufferings. With this, on the basis of recognition of that, then you reverse this same kind of, revulsion against samsara existence with regard to all other sentient beings. That is what we call compassion. This is how we, train our mind and develop our mind, spiritual, develop our mind. Yeah.
Shesho rāng dūngi nā kīng kūli ā nūng kīrī īs, rāng dūngi nūng, kūya dūngi mūndi nā kūya dūngi nūng kīrī mār dūgū sī chīni yās, dūgū sī chīni kuāli tabi tāpā rāsa nā dūgū sī chīni yāndrō nī tāngbū yā kuāli, sūtū yā kuāli tabi tāpā rāsa nā kīndi rā sūtū kuāli tabi tāpā mātā nī yā jīchā chīn pāndu kīndi, yā rīm chīn pāndu kīndi, nībū rī chī pātā dūgū sī chīni tāngbū sūtū kī nī mūla yā thā yī chīni Nyamu ba de pan de drachon sene, ane tagin dhamachin di achet to gore.
So, therefore, the sequence of developing those qualities, the mental quality within us, is first one, need to practice how to develop renunciations. On the basis of developing renunciations, one then engage in the practice that enables one to cultivate what we call the universal compassion, and this will then lead oneself to understand how things really are. In other words, wisdom realizing ultimate nature of reality. And with these three practices, the cultivation of those three mental quality will then lead oneself to the state of liberations, or the beyond beyond sorrow, the state of beyond sorrow.
Oh, general, tambo daja tamba ya ngazu na hingi ba ji jang ji kwa dimi ni tena ji, en kono do wuzi ji ni yin.
So it is all the mental development, in the process of mental development, because enlightenment, or the state beyond sorrow, free from samsara, can be achieved by means of transforming one's mind. In other words, developing one's mind. So therefore, all of those great beings, the enlightened beings, have gained the state of enlightenment by engaging in the intensive practice of training their mind. All of them are not really enlightened. They are not primordially enlightened, nor their enlightenment is achieved from no cause. So therefore, all of those great beings in the past, they are, in the beginning, they are the same beings as we are, who are caught up within the cyclic existence, and who have all kinds of delusions, afflictions, defilements within them. So it is through their recognition of and finding those delusions and mental afflictions within them, and then wish to free themselves from that state. So then they engage in the practice of what we call the mental development. Then they gain the state of enlightenment. So all of them, those who have gained the state of enlightenment, have gone through the process of development of renunciations, bodhicitta, and perfect view of emptiness. In other words, wisdom realizing emptiness. So if we put in effort, we all have potential to cultivate renunciation, bodhicitta, and wisdom realizing emptiness within us. Thus, we need to recognize those potential within us, the potential that are which are present in our mind, and make an effort to bring them into fruition.
What am I? At the day, said you look at the internet. Oh, do the genius in the Ambuji, dual qual, qual, could on the energy, couldn't agree on the kind of tongue, and dagi pantalon, and the qual could good is there. And the number that quality dope yak and the daughter tigris, and I mean, you get somebody in the quad, then I can't do cheer, cheeky, you're it. That you get a matter of a key, your mother.
So then, you know, first, it's very important to really think about. We need to understand the nature of samsara, and you should have a special feeling when we speak about nature of samsara. And because we are experiencing, we are within the samsara, and we are experiencing, we are going through the samsaric experience. Yet at the same time, we are not really, we are not really aware of that samsaric experience. And it is because of this, we are revolving ourselves within the secular existence, not being understanding that whatever the experience that we have is a samsaric experience. So essence of the teachings of the Buddha is to help other beings. If that is not possible, one should refrain from harming others.
Well, generally, don't understand the GK in a GK. That Nambi Chigi Togu, the Melisans on the GIDG, and this on the Tigu Mari, and under the GG. Tung double nan kapuji, not dog, not chapu gris of them double chi, yen than the man he with me, not the members of good.
So, when we speak about, you know, benefiting other sentient beings and, you know, observing other sentient beings. Here, the practice of this benefit other sentient beings is really suggests you to understand and our, you know, current situation at this time, the experience that we go through because of grasping itself. Most of the time, whatever the actions that we may engage, we're engaging in that particular actions based on I. And so long as you are engaging in this actions based on this mystic and understanding of I, will always lead to sufferings. So now, what we need to do is to understanding, by understanding this I, the actual mode of existence of I, one then benefit other sentient beings.
What ane dhubu dhe chini chi nane chigi dhanda gung jo ni. So so lo dhe tangda pe chima nga ba chi sinda sa tiga mungu chi khura kundi gyo rwa. O ntu chi so so sen di pa diwa jo gyo gung jo sen do chi sen ma ya po gung chi ma gyo anda chi chi. Ani yu chi li pa tingi chi chi dhan lo dhe dhan apan di tu chi so cha chi lo. Ani do yu tingi dhe ane sang chi ya ki do somi tingi ba ni gung a dhan mu pa a dhan dhe se kanga a dhan do si chi ni.
So, to have a proper understanding of the mode of existence of the self, and one need to undergo extensive meditations, because why we are unable to understand, and or why we are not being able to cultivate a wisdom that understands how things really are, and actual mode of existence of self and all other phenomena, it's because of this defilements. And so, our main purpose of meditation is to overcome this mental afflictions. So when we speak about meditation, which is gom in Tibetan term, which original language, the Tibetan term gom is actually derived from Sanskrit language, what we call bhavana, which means to familiarizing oneself, to familiarize your mind. So it is through, you know, familiarizing your mind with how things really are, and mode of existence of a self and other phenomena, one then be able to uproot those mental afflictions, delusions. So all of this requires a constant meditation.
Dendari, that number gujo gujo said dendari. So the sense and that sent the hawk pure, so the sent Gigi Ida, my mother said the same thing. There's a good tongue of beauty. There's a good tongue, that bando, the children, Pajuju. So you don't eat it about them, which you had to get you. And then to understand, take it, and then Melba Chabang and what you're doing is a minuscule of the Kayaki Muguaji. And what was the gentleman in the wrong way, children, and up a yachi.
So, in the context of Buddhism, when we speak about the meditation is not mere calming one's mind, not mere, you know, resting one's mind, but rather, therefore, we find there are two kinds of meditations. One is analytic, the meditation, analytical. Another is single-pointed. So what the analytical meditation does is would analyze how things really are. And when we are going through, by focusing your mind upon one particular object and teasing out all the component of those, you know, objects, and try to find actual mode of existence of that particular object, or to refer oneself, you know, look at oneself and see where, how, what is the mode of existence of myself. By pointing out ourselves and analyzing and investigating, beginning from tip to toe, where is this I exist? What is mode of existence of I? going through each and every part of one's body. This is a form of meditation. And after the final analysis, you will find one particular phenomena that is the ultimate mode of existence. Once you're able to find that, then you remain single-pointedly, remaining your single-pointedly meditating on that particular object. It's said to be single-pointed meditations. So therefore, you find two kinds of meditation. One is analytic and one is single-pointed. So when we speak about the meditation in Buddhism, you should understand that it doesn't really refers to a single-pointedness. It doesn't really refers to single-pointedness. Even if you are trying to learn something, you're trying to learn something and try to, be more patient and be more, perseverance. You're trying to, all of this are form of meditations. So meditation doesn't really refer to someone who is in the meditation posture, shutting or closing their eyes. That's not only the meditations. There are many different kinds of meditations. Therefore, the actual meaning of bhavana, or the meditation, gom in Tibetan, is to familiarize your mind with something. So in order to develop this kind of meditations, it's not really easy for us, it says, because our mind from the beginning this time, our mind is more familiarized with the negative things. Our mind is completely dominated by negative thoughts and emotions such as anger, hatred, jealousy, sense of competitiveness, and so on and so forth. And so, so the habit that we have, the mental habit that we have, is not developed from your birth, nor it developed when you actually, begin to, get adult. But rather, this habituation, the mental habit that we have, it's from the beginning of this time. So therefore, in the Buddhist text, it says, we are caught up within the long nooses of mental habituations. Not only just a rope or the nooses, but it's just a long rope, long nooses. So it takes a very long time for you to actually untie that. So therefore, we need to, go through the studies of the Dhamma, receiving the teachings, and whatever the teachings that you have received must be put it into a practical use. So just mere receiving the Dhamma teachings alone will not really transform your mind. You have to put this into a practical use, make it practical. In other words, meditate. This will then help you to actually, to untie the long nooses of those mental habituations.
Bukujuju kundi nana, na sotolo maa 야 긴구 저래 칸데 기기 좀 지출노 야부 나니 지원네 야 긴구 저 지려오나 당아 기기스니 기나미 긴게 저아 참만데나 기나미 긴데 그건 찬우베르 코노 이네 기나미 가르데스니 저아 참만데니 코 교야 제샤야 되게네 밀리언 담보다 밀리언 쳬본 담보다 도스 지네 야네 도아 코노 콰코토 그거리 남이 치고 또 힘군다데 된다데 아니 제나나 비기 동인다 저아 참만데 동인이 뭐고지
So the most very vivid habituations of our mental habituation is attachment and aversion. We are not aware of that at all. It's many times because there are three different feelings that is present within us all the time. Attachment towards one's loved ones, aversion towards someone whom you dislike, and the neuter, feelings of the neuter, nor attachment, nor aversion, but there's a neuter feeling that towards the neuter people, the common people. So it is based on those three, those three are, all of those are rooted in ignorance, in this grasping of self. Because you dislike other person, based on I don't like it, right? The picture of I is already there. It's a blueprint. And on that, you develop all kind of mental afflictions, attachment, aversion, jealousy, sense of competitiveness, and so on. So now, in order to, neutralize those negative thoughts and emotions, first, what we call is to cultivate equanimity. And because equanimity, the practice or cultivation of equanimity serves as a basis, again, for the, growth of all this other, positive mental developments. So equanimity is, the cultivation of equanimity is analogous to a field or the garden, in other words, the vegetable garden that is very smooth, which is ready to grow, vegetable in it. So if the garden is filled by all those, the dust, stone chips, and the sands and so on, then you will not be able to grow anything in it. So therefore, we need to, make this vegetable garden very smooth, so that it can grow the fruits or the vegetable within it. In the same way, in order to develop compassion, love, sense of connectedness to other beings, containment, developing wisdoms, and all of this take place on the basis of cultivating equanimity.
But then I am not in the chupa ro shala gasri. And the monju is the chi. I think Gatan candidation and chi in Yagyangu, the candidate, Zubu to the path to cut the Kolika Hina Yuri. I don't know.
So, it is, as a result of one's practicing of the Dharma, then when it comes to the ultimate journey, which is the death, that is a reality, it's a part of our life, we all regardless of who we are, name or fame, wealth, whatever the position that you have, will not make any difference when it comes to this, when it comes to the ultimate journey, which is death. We all, you know, have to face a same situation. So, as a practitioner of Dhamma, as a result of one's practice, at best, when this situation comes, one must face this situation willingly and delightfully. If that is not possible, one should at least face the situation with no regret. And if that is not possible, one should at least free from fear of that death. If you have one of this, and then your practice of Dhamma is paid off.
So Rishla is asking, you know, if we can spend our time by taking questions to clarify whatever the discussion that we had earlier. We can have a question, so if asked, and you know, so we're leaving a little bit early today, but I have to leave a little early, like around 8:35, 4:40. So I apologize. Yeah. Okay.
My question.
No. That
time
you
already started. Madam, I'm going to continue. Tell us more, Yashoda, about facing the ultimate journey delightfully.
The moment you are taking on the chiller, rubbly, chill, yeah, cabin on the chill, sombrova, chiller, rubbing tassum, sombrova, chiller, rubbly, chill, rubbing tassum, jetty, cabin on the chivalrous, dingly, a government, it
took it easy,
and all, chess and that, any tamalia, that which chignami of his chivalrous, sombrova, chess and that, tangoti, chiva, chivy, chili galia, chick. 가벵한 간데스 치고레스
나 그럼 들럭이 보나면 되는 게네 바 가벵한 군 저라 토르와 기나지야 되는 게 요만이
So it is because of his practice he understands the death of his or her part of life and with no fear at all.
So
you know, some practitioners says they even know where they will be reborn, and Kishla sharing a short story about one of the his you know teachers, the former teachers, said now it is better for me to leave this old body and find a new body. He always say that in a very delightfully, and he has no fear of dying. And this is all a practice, you know, it really requires a rigorous practice to have such a conviction, because who else is here to not have a fear of dying, right? All of us, we fear of death, and someone doesn't even want to, you know, hear the word death, you know? So then how someone can really
die delightfully. So it's all through, you know, their practice and understanding the nature of our existence and part of our life, what kind of, you know, journey that we need to face. So it requires a lot of practice to have to die delightfully.
Can you say more?
Tell you, this is the Kabu Chai Gimsen did some number. Gimsen Sabbath in the Kayoravis. Gimsen Sabbath in the Saba Hiroda Saba Sabu Rishtak on that Sway Yoves. Gimsen did some members. The Kabing on the Shigir Labrava. Takochik Subu can watch and give us Saba and Chibu members. Gimsen Sabbath in the Kayoravis. Kabu Chai Kandachai. The Roda Kurum Yali Hinomu give a Kurunjara
Tondua. अनि पी कोनो तोबा तगा दले न सिजें जना कारि जीव न कोनो जेनि के चीसो न के दन चा जुरो वा जेन पंतो यो के
सो देन व्हेन समवन अ गुड प्रैक्टिशनर सेज गुड प्रैक्टिशनर हु इज इन लाइक 80 90 इयर्स ओल्ड एंड नाउ दोस प्रैक्टिशनर व्हाट दे डू इज टू यू नो try to think about the past, what they have done in their life. And as a good practitioner, of course, there's nothing that he has done, he or her has done something that is harmful to others. And who had carried a positive actions through body, speech, and mind throughout his or her life. With this maintenance of practice, of positive practice, or positive actions of the body, speech, and mind, and being able to die with this maintenance, with this kind of mental quality within us, to be able to die, to be able to pass away, is such a fortunate. And so there's a whole reason of being happy to die with this kind of quality. Because for us, even now, if we try to look and try to think about our own past, this life, we see all kind of negative things that we have done. We all have done that. And if we were to die at this time, we will die with great regret. And according to the Buddhism, we haven't been able to really make our life meaningful and purposeful. So according to Buddhism, our very purpose of being human being and taking a rebirth within this human existence is to benefit other sentient beings. And if that is not possible, one should at least refrain from harming others. That is what we call the purpose of our life. So if we were to die without adopting such a practice, we're not being able to make our human life purposeful. So there's a great regret and remorse at the end of one's life. So if you know that you have maintained all those practices that are required to become one's, to make one's life purposeful and meaningful, then you have all reason of being happy to die.
Thank you. So sometimes when thinking about other people's suffering, that it can get a little bit overwhelming, at least for me. I guess one of the questions that came up for me recently was the emptiness of other people's suffering. And I'm wondering if there are any questions that could help me ask myself to come up with a better understanding of the emptiness of other people's suffering. And that's not making sense, is it? I sit in and try to understand what the emptiness of someone else's suffering is to maybe reduce me feeling so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I don't know how to ask my
So, you know, the main thing is that when we talk about cultivating compassion, that cultivating compassion, and compassion is to genuine wish to overcome the suffering of other sentient beings, then in order to cultivate a genuine wish to overcome suffering of other sentient beings, we need to understand, we're not really talking about we have to understand that each and every individual suffering, but we need to at least understand the nature of suffering. Right? So sometimes we become overwhelmed. We become overwhelmed by, you know, reflecting one's mind upon the suffering of other individuals. It's because when we are really looking at the sufferings, we're not really looking at how the suffering of causes condition of the suffering of that individual is coming into being. This is what we really need to think about. If someone, for instance, if someone is undergoing a suffering of headache at this point, and we look at that person, and then you always, we have a tendency to just focus on the particular suffering that person is having without going through further analysis. Right? So now, what we need to do is to, it is that whatever the suffering that maybe the individual maybe is undergoing, it has its own causes and conditions. Think about the causes and conditions of the sufferings. And then, not only that, you know, you are actually focusing on that particular person's suffering, but the countless sentient beings, though you know that for your knowledge, you are actually seeing a handful of people who are undergoing suffering. But in reality, there are like millions and billions who are even worse than the suffering that the individual soul is undergoing in your presence. So now, then why all of those people and these sufferings, these individuals are undergoing suffering, it's all because of their cause. And then if you further analyze the cause, they are completely rooted to the ignorance. So now, our part is to now, you know, may wish, the genuine wish, like
may all beings, may all these beings, including myself, to overcome, to, you know, uproot the actual cause of that suffering. And this will, you know, instead of, you know, overwhelming, this will give you a very strong encouragement. It will encourage you to cultivate, you know, compassion towards all the sentient beings. You always think about the causes and conditions. Of course, if you are able to reflect your mind upon the emptiness at the same time, then it's even more better. If no questions, then...
This is my first time here, so I have to say that I've always been taught Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and always come to the Father, but by me, which I've never understood, and never felt, and that's the first thing that Christians are going to be about here. So, what does Buddhism teach about? You know, I believe that there is one God, and that God expresses himself to all people through various deities, so Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad. That's my belief. So what does Buddhism teach?
Can you repeat the questions? Can you rephrase them? I didn't get it very clearly.
Yeah,
sorry.
So your understanding is that God manifests himself through various prophets, such as Muhammad, Jesus, and the Buddha. And gods. So I'm not sure the specifics of the question.
I'm wanting to understand, you know, I guess double check whether that's how Buddhism would look at it, and then also what does Buddhism believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she wants verification is, for instance, do we consider in Buddha a prophet like Muhammad? So it's an emanation from God.
Oh, okay.
And if not that, then what does
okay. Oh, okay.
She wants to know what Buddhism teaches because she believes that it's all one God.
Okay.
And she wants to know what Buddhism teaches.
Okay. That. Okay. That Moraya the Yeshugi chair killing in Jirawa, more than Thomas Savage. Jesanda Kunazulia, Konjo singing the Chigma to Dugo Marwa. Konjo. Sangi chamde and the gate sama yang kono chik. So konjo chik ma devo mara konjo. Konjo chik konjo dini ma ko chik tuisha soro chik. Nang kor gores kono samla samse chebe na. Tinganze samse kandeyus nang be.
Konjo tuisha ne. Tuva cha.
No, nganze samse le kandeyus ti.
Konjo kor tuisha se ne.
Kandeyus sung tu ta nang be samse le kandeyus.
Nanjing Himbu,
So, here in Buddhism, we speak about Buddha, which is the Christians will have, you know, God or Jesus, right? So it's in the same manner, the Buddhism talks about Buddha, who's the founding, you know, what could call founding father of Buddhism. So now the difference between the Christians' belief of the God and the Buddhist belief of the Buddha is because that's a quite different, okay? Because in Christianity, the believing in a God is eternal, and primordially perfect person, and there's no and but in Buddhism, when we speak about the Buddha, Buddha was not primarily Buddha. In fact, Buddha was someone like us in the beginning, someone like ourselves in the beginning, human beings who had a lot of imperfections within them, within him or her. And it is realizing, it is through his or her realization of the imperfection that is within him or her, then try to transform those. And went through a lot of, you know, long process of, you know, getting rid of all those negative impulses and negative thoughts and emotions. And it is through his rigorous practice, and finally he was able to eradicate all those defilements, the mental negative thoughts and emotions, and perfected himself by cultivating ever complete what we call positive thoughts and emotions, and become a Buddha. This is how the Buddhism would look at someone as a Buddha. And so therefore, Buddhism always talks about not only there's a one Buddha, the historical Buddha, who is Buddha Shakyamuni, but also all of us have an enlightened seed within us. The seed is always, all each and every one of us carries this seeds, and we have a potential to become a Buddha, like Buddha Shakyamuni. So the question is now whether we are going to nurture this seed and letting the seeds go into fruition. So therefore, all the practice of the Buddhism is to manifest that seed, the seed that all of within us. And then, of course, the essence of the teachings of the Buddha, Buddha himself essentialized in a very beautiful way of saying that do not commit negative deeds, and commit wholesome deeds at all time, and subdue one's own negative state of mind. That is the essence of the teachings of the Buddha.
Page
23.
Page 23, and then the mandala offering on 24. And then special sessions on page 22.
It's 22, right?
23.
Yeah.